Hello and welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am your host and coach and speaker, Andres Ruiz. John McClain, unfortunately, is not here with us. He is at the U of A doing his thing, and so he's going back to school. He is cool for school, so he's definitely going to school, and I'm really proud of him. Good job, John. We're really proud of you, and we're rooting for you, so... And you're probably going to be smarter than us. That's what Tom and I decided, you know, that we said, you know, he's going to be a little bit smarter than us when he gets back. But yeah, wishing you the best. So today we have a great show. And first guest we're going to be having is Melissa Gaskell from La Frontera. And then in the second part of the show, we're going to be having probably our favorite guest from TIA, Tucson International Academy, Jennifer Herrera, a.k.a. Dr. J. So what I want to do is I want to get started with a little bit of motivation. And I want to talk about how next week will be the week when everybody gives up on their New Year's resolution. And usually people set up a goal for the year, December 31st, this is going to be the year that I'm going to lose weight. This is the year that I'm going to go for my goals and my dreams. I'm going to write my book. Third week comes and it's done. Everybody gives up. They stop doing what they were doing for the first week. And then again, December comes and another New Year's resolution. So the reason why people give up is because they are always looking at the outcome, and the outcome is so far that they get overwhelmed, they start overthinking, they start having mind drama, and then that mind drama causes them to get overwhelmed with their energy goes down, and then they say, you know what, I'm just going to go to the Cheesecake Factory, I'm going to go get some burritos or whatever, and then I'm just going to give up on this diet. Or they're going to say, you know what, this book is going to take too long, my goals and my dreams, my career is going to take too long, I can't do it. Once we hit a roadblock, we give up. But what we have to do is we have to first change our identity, who we are. We need to say, I'm no longer going to be a person that overeats. I'm no longer, because I used to overeat. I used to weigh 265. I used to struggle with weight. And, you know, like I had to change my identity of who I was. I no longer overeat. I no longer emotional. I don't eat because of my emotions. I had to give that up. So you have to give up your identity, and then you have to set up the process that you have to go through in order for you to get to that goal, and then you'll get the outcome. Many people look at it as like, I have to get this outcome, and then this is the process, but they never change their identity. So you have to start changing your identity, and then you have to set up what the process will look like, and then you'll get the outcome. But if you're looking at the outcome, you're going to get overwhelmed, you're going to get stressed, you're going to give up. And that's why the majority, I think that the number was like about 85 to 90% of people give up on their goals, and it's by the third week. So what I want to just tell you is like, change your identity, change the process, and then, I mean, go for the process, and then you'll get the outcome. All right, so that was just a little bit of motivation for you all, and we're going to turn it over to our guest that we have on the show, Melissa Gaskell from La Frontera. Thank you for being here.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, La Frontera has done so many amazing things. We've had a lot of amazing guests on the show that are really, like, I mean, it's definitely an amazing organization. We really appreciate what you're doing for our community. We need more, you know, organizations like yourself. So welcome. And so just to get started, and just for the people who have never heard of La Frontera, what is La Frontera?
It is probably the leading behavioral health organization in Southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about like what the services they provide, and you know, just, and then we can go with what you do, like, you know, as the, because you're the housing coordinator at La Frontera. So tell us, you know, a little bit about what services they provide, and what do you do yourself as a housing coordinator?
Okay, sounds good. So they provide case management, medication management, behavioral health services. You can even get a PCP. So it's basically like a whole health home where you could get all of your physical, mental, emotional health needs met. Therapy.
Mm-hmm. So what is the PCP? It's for anybody who doesn't know.
Primary care physician. So okay. You can also have like a basic PCP within La Frontera so that you can have all of your services under one roof.
You mentioned something that's very powerful about emotions, you know, and what are your thoughts about that? Like, you know, when people, how do our emotions cause like what we do like in these kind of circumstances? Like, what are your thoughts about that? I'm just curious.
Emotions are pretty huge, depending on who you are. Mm-hmm. What sort of mental health problem you may have, mm-hmm. That's going to guide a lot of it. The more probably control you have over your emotions, the more control you kind of have over all the other parts. If you let strictly your emotions guide you, you can get wrapped up. You can, obviously, you could probably cause yourself to have some sort of physical or mental health ailment just by being stuck in that emotional place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I know I've been stuck in my emotional places many times, and our emotions can definitely get us into trouble in many ways, for sure. And I'm glad that you all are, you know, doing something to help these people with their emotions, you know, and with your experiences, like, how do you feel La Frontera has been able to help these people out with their emotions and, you know, the challenges that they've been having?
You know, we're always there to be a support, mm-hmm. Maybe a catalyst to engage them and to help them in any way. Of course, a lot of that's going to fall on the person who needs the help as well.
Of course.
They have to actively engage. They have to take the help that's offered. They have to be willing participants in that change. Provided that they are, we obviously provide them the support and the tools needed to make healthy change in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And you know, and I'm assuming like when you say tools, I'm thinking it's therapy. I mean, what else is there that the tools that come with that? So.
Well, it can be healthy living. It can be, rehabilitation skills. It can be, simple things you really wouldn't think of. Maybe how you dress yourself, how you present yourself, your confidence level, there are a lot of tools, how we speak with one another, how we manage our anxiety level or those emotions when we have to deal with other people to get our needs met.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And it's so true that all these things, it's not just one thing that's going to fix these emotions and these challenges that you're having. There are five or six things that factor into your emotional, your mental, your physical health, all this stuff. So we'll definitely get more of that information. This is really good stuff. I really appreciate this. But we're going to be going to the commercial break. And if any of you are interested in taking your life to the next level, if you're a person who has been waiting for a week, month, year, a decade to take action towards your goals and your dreams, I would love to give you a free consultation, a free life coaching consultation, so that I can show you how you can overcome any fears or any limiting beliefs that are stopping you from taking action. And I'm going to help you take action to overcome procrastination so that you can pursue your goals and dreams and ultimately find your life's purpose so that you can leave a legacy behind. So if you're interested, send me an email at ibelievecal@gmail.com, and I would be more than happy to help you get started. This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We will be right back after this.
Action Print and Copy is a full-service print and copy shop offering quality products at affordable prices. Everything from black and white copies to large format color signage. Whether you're shopping on the web or in their centrally located shop on the corner of Prince and First Avenue, you'll find they have the best team in town, committed to providing great customer service, ready to help you meet your personal and professional goals. Call 520-829-3075 or go to printapc.com. Action, print, and copy.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you'd like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
GAP Ministries is all about impacting one life because they believe that each and every person matters to God. They strive to build up each child they care for and each individual they serve. That is why we at Veteran Rescue Mission volunteer our time in their kitchen and warehouse every week. And we suggest you do too. Go to gapmin.com to get involved and donate to this blessed organization today.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. This is Andres Ruiz, your coach and speaker, and we have an amazing guest, Melissa Gaskell, the housing coordinator of La Frontera. And, you know, right now when we went to break, we were talking about emotions. We were talking about all the amazing work that La Frontera is doing. And Melissa herself is doing some amazing work for La Frontera, and we got into it a little bit, but then we got into the emotions, then we got into the therapy and all that good stuff. But my question to you is, as the housing coordinator, you know, what do you do? What goes on, you know, in what you do as, you know, with your job and, you know, the experiences that you've had with clients and the experiences you've had with your staff? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, sounds good. So I'm not the only one. I actually work with a team. There are currently three of us. Mm-hmm. We work really well together. We each bring different strengths and gifts and talents to the team, and I think complement each other very well. As a team, we work together to serve currently, I'd say, 11 sites mm-hmm. to provide them with on-site, basically on-site case management services where they live. So we rotate and share all of our sites. And so every day is a little bit different depending on where we are. But the main goal is we're supporting people who are in housing who need support in order to stay housed.
And With being able to stay housed, like what are pretty much like the requirements for people to stay housed? Like what does that process look like? Like for them to stay housed? Yeah.
It varies. So we have some sites that are based on disabilities, some sites that are veteran based, some sites that are elderly, some sites that are chronically homeless. And so the needs are going to be different. Mm-hmm. Someone with a mental health disorder may need a different type of support than a person who was chronically homeless. Person who's chronically homeless may need help more with maintaining their home. Maybe they've never had an apartment manager before, don't even know what do I do if my dishwasher leaks or if my toilet, how do I get that fixed? Mm-hmm. You'd be really surprised. People don't know the simplest things. Maybe they would let that toilet just leak. I don't know. I didn't know there was something I was supposed to do.
This is what my understanding, maybe I got it wrong, but when you say chronically homeless, it sounds like it's just a person who, because they used to be homeless, they still have the mentality of being a homeless person. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that is that kind of...
That's very true. That's very true. Maybe they have a whole home with a bed, but they still sleep on their sofa. Maybe mm-hmm. they don't even want what we call, you know, they get a little housing kit with some dishes and a blanket and pillows. And, you know, they want nothing more than the can opener to crack open that can of food. And they're still eating. They've got a stove. They could cook it. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, they're underutilizing their home because they're so accustomed to something different. It takes them a while to recognize I have a bed to sleep in. I have a wash machine to wash my clothes. And they may not even know how to do those things either. So mm-hmm. we come alongside them and support them in any way that they need in order to not jeopardize their housing.
That's powerful that you do that, because just thinking about how, you know, a grown person maybe is kind of like ashamed or embarrassed that, hey, I should know this stuff. Or no, maybe who knows? Maybe some people are like, hey, you know what? I need help, which is good. And, but sometimes, you know, some of us, even I myself, sometimes I don't like to ask for help because, you know, I don't want to be seen as like, I don't know anything, but you know, it's our ego. Sometimes it gets in the way, but I can definitely see how with, these people who were homeless that, yeah, they don't know much. I mean, I used to work with foster kids, and foster kids didn't even know how to turn on the stove, you know, those things. And I can definitely see how these people are struggling with that. And I can see how when you come in to play with that, like, that's huge. I mean, you could save a person from potentially burning down the apartment or doing something that could be like leaking the toilet that has no idea how to use a plunger. Those little basic essential skill sets. And I mean, so is that kind of like what you've seen that you've taught these people, like these types of skill sets? Like, what type of skill sets do you usually teach, you know, these people that you're helping?
Well, that would be the most basic, mm-hmm. the example I just gave. But, you know, in all honesty, a lot of them do know how to do those parts themselves. We do run into these cases, but we provide, let's say, computer skills classes in case they would like to get a source of income or a job or nice. Maybe even email family somewhere in another state. We provide employment services so that they can, you know, build a resume, put in applications. We've provided cooking classes, food pantry on site, mm-hmm. as well as transport, say, to the food bank to get a food box or to the grocery store to use their food stamps. And then we're a buffer between a lot of those things, too, if they need help renewing those food stamps or connecting with more of what La Frontera has to offer through their clinical services. Mm-hmm. We always say, really, the clinical services are their vitamin. We're like the supplement.
Oh, I like
we're
that.
Like an on-site cool. buffer, yeah, between uh-huh. them and the bigger services. But we're on-site to see that they stay connected.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And so really what you're doing, you're really changing lives. I mean, you potentially are saving lives because just by doing those, which look like very simple things, it's a huge thing for them, especially with not knowing these things. You know, if they never know, they'll never know, and maybe they'll never ask. But for you to be able to help them with like resumes and getting a job and getting all these skill sets, it's really changing people's lives. I mean, how do you feel about the experiences that you've had with these clients, like just seeing them just change and start to like progress? What have you seen, and how does that make you feel just to see that?
I would say the successes range mm-hmm. from just being able to help a person get their food need met through a food box to, like you were talking about the emotional part earlier, to seeing a client who was very unstable emotionally, couldn't even manage their own problems, to get therapy, to get case management, to get help, and to be able to come in and be more stable when they visit you and come across more confident, like, I'm feeling good today. I have my needs met today. There's a whole range. But again, we're in the business of leading horses to water. So it's in their participation level as well.
Yep.
Right? Absolutely. I can provide tools. I can lay a roadmap out there. I can give you everything you need.
Yes.
But if you choose not to get from point A to point B, that's your choice too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, how does it feel just to see these people progress? Like, how does that make you feel?
It's really good to see the successes. You know, like I said, they range. We do have a couple of younger kids that have graduated out of their subsidy, nice. Got a job, and will be, you know, leaving their apartment soon because they've, you know, kind of graduated. Not that you have to be that way. Many of the people get into subsidized housing, and it may be that they'll be there forever. Mm-hmm. But some can get what they need to get stable and move on to.
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool, especially with the younger generation. You know, there's so many kids out there that are having challenges like that. And for you to do that, you know, thank you for doing that. I really appreciate what you do. The work you do is amazing. You're helping lives. You're helping lives. You're transforming lives. And you have to look at it like this. Like, you're transforming that kid's life or that person's life, but you're not only transforming their life, you're transforming their family's life, because when that kid gets out of there, they're eventually going to have kids. And had it not been for somebody like you, where would they be? They could potentially be dead or end up homeless again or in jail. But because of you being willing to do that for them, now they're going to be in a better place and their family's going to be in a better place. So I just want to say thank you for being here. You're doing amazing work. Keep up the great work. And we will be right back after this. This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
At Ironwood Dental, their compassionate dentists pride themselves on quality care and patient comfort. Ironwood Dental stands behind the work they do, and they believe in building relationships with their patients and treating them with genuine care and respect. The doctors at Ironwood Dental can care for your whole family. They can perform a wide variety of dental services, ranging from orthodontics, sedation, implants, and
pediatric care.
Call Ironwood Dental at 888-2900 to speak with Nia or Kelly and get scheduled. Or visit their website at ironwooddentalaz.com to painlessly book your appointment online.
North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical-grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
Hi, I'm Andres Ruiz, the co-host of Common Good Radio Show and the founder of community building organization I Believe in Myself. And I am offering a free rundown and consultation to the first 10 listeners to sign up for a private or group life coaching consultation at IBelieveInMyself.org. We all need good support to help us to take our life to the next level. So let me help you believe in yourself so that you can pursue your goals and dreams and ultimately find your life's purpose. Go to IBelieveInMyself.org today to sign up and get more information.
Picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Now, back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission on 1030 The Voice.
Yes, and welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I am your coach and speaker, Andres Ruiz. John McLean, the Pastor John McLean, is not here. He is in college. He's making He's making college come true.
Woo!
Thanks to that voice right there. Thanks to Dr. J. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he's excited. He's out there. He's like, yeah, man, it feels good.
He's making it happen, and I love that.
Yep,
you know?
He's making college come true, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
That's so exciting.
So, yeah, he's really excited. And I'm proud of him. You know, he's really doing a lot of great things. And then for him to go to school, I'm like, man.
I know. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that voice you hear right there is Dr. J. Jennifer Herrera.
Woo-hoo.
from TIA, Tucson International Academy. And, you know, I'm just really grateful to have you here and us to jam as usual. We always have good conversations. And I know this is going to be another great conversation. And, you know, just to get started, like just to ask you, we were talking a little bit about service and just the power of service. And, you know, in your life, you've definitely served so many people. I mean, it's been incredible to see you like for so many years do what you do. Like for you, just tell us about like what does service mean to you and how has it helped not only you, but everybody else that you've served? How has that helped them as well?
Oh, geez. Well, wow. What a question.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? Where I think, you know, a real good talking point is that, you know, the five love languages by Gary. Gosh, what's his last name?
It's one of our... No, Andrew.
One of
no,
our...
It's not. I'm sorry,
that's Jimmy.
About.
No, I'm just kidding. The five love languages by...
Gary something.
Gary somebody. I almost had it. Oh, it's going to drive us crazy.
Yeah,
but it's such a good book and it's such a good resource. If you go online to thefivelovelanguages.com, you can take a quiz and it'll tell you what your love language is. And I only bring that up in regards to service because there's five different love languages. One is like physical touch, which, you know, makes sense. Hugs, right? Mm-hmm. Kisses. Another one is quality time. You know, of course, you got to be with someone to build a relationship.
Yeah.
Another one is gifts of service, of help. Mm. So, that would happen to be my love language.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then another one is, let's see here. Did I say gifts? Like where you receive gifts, like actual physical gifts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's another love language.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one more verbal. Some people really need to hear, I love you. You know, they really need to hear, you're doing a fantastic job at work. You know, there's just different levels. Like, it doesn't always have to be personal just because we're using the word love. But love in a general sense is, you know, patient, kind, and all those things. And so, for me, when I realized why it makes me so mad when people don't pitch in and help, it's because that's my love language.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm just naturally bent more towards service. Mm-hmm. So, of course, my organization, Tucson International Academy, is going to be service-oriented mm-hmm. because that's yep. just who I am. And, of course, guess who I attracted? A bunch of teachers and other leaders who are service-oriented. Yeah. And then there's the whole servant leadership style. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. the style of leadership we promote with our leaders and with our teachers yeah. and with our kids who are going to be future leaders.
Yes.
So being service oriented, when you say servant, it sounds like you're subservient. Mm-hmm. But no, that is not as like a total misconception. Mm. To serve one another is the highest form of help. Mm. It's like if you just are going to think that you're the boss and you're going to boss everybody around, you're going to tell them what to do and they have to do it because you're in charge. Boy, I mean, that doesn't work all the time. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. my experience, not very much. Mm-hmm. So, but if you come from a place of caring, of being sincerely involved in whatever the situation is, mm-hmm. you can get a lot better results. So service for me is everything. It's mm-hmm. like living in service of the highest good of mankind. I mean, that's kind of like something that is a consciousness thought out there right mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. And I love it because it fits me. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I wish everyone would be kind. And so every now and then, I'll do a little experiment. And lately I've been experimenting. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've had a weird result. I have been down with the wonderful COVID mm-hmm. the past few days. And so I was not out among people. And for me, if you're kind of people oriented and service oriented, you get lonely really quick. So I made an excuse to go get a coffee at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And of course it was terrible service and it was, you know, really everything that went wrong could go wrong. But I just decided, you know, that I was so glad to be out of the house for that minute, and I didn't want to ruin the moment, that I was going to make it a positive experience. Mm. So I said, how can I serve this poor guy who clearly doesn't know what he's doing? I mean, I have the same order at McDonald's, so I know how it's supposed to come out. You know, I'm like, this isn't it. And so anyway, I thought, oh, man, how am I going to do this? Because he is ready to blow, and it looks like he's ready to blow on me. Wow. You know, and I thought, yeah. but I don't want him to have this bad moment because, you know, everybody's stressed. We don't need more of this. So mm-hmm. long story short, I tried to serve him. I served him first by acknowledging his frustration. I just said, ooh, what a, everybody's kung fu fighting, huh? You know, what movie? Do you know that movie? Yeah. Wayne's World.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And he goes, yeah. And I said, yeah. I said, it's crazy, isn't it? I said, but you know what? We all need our McDonald's. And I'm going to need you to fix my order. And but I said it really nice and yeah. got him laughing. And by the yeah. end, he was laughing so hard. And me too. And I thought, okay, I did succeed in lightening his load. Yep. Also getting what I wanted and just having a little interaction was nice for me.
Nice.
And it was just really good. So I just was reflecting on that. I was like, you know, here he is actually serving me, but sometimes they need help, you know, so mm-hmm. how can we serve them as the customer? Well, just some acknowledgement maybe. I mean, who knows what his love languages are? I don't know. He's a young guy. Yeah. I wouldn't even begin another culture to, you know, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin on that. But it was just like a fun, odd, weird moment.
Yeah.
And I say it's because of service, you know, it's because everybody can relate to a little help, you know, mm-hmm. a little relief, please.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
goodness.
Yeah. It's like we are all just so worked up. Oh, my God, this COVID. Oh, my God, my bills. Oh, my God, the traffic. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. And it starts with, Mr. Coach, I know you will agree, the mindset.
Oh, my God,
you know,
absolutely.
You get it in your head that you are going to serve. And no matter what, and then you go do it, and it can be a real game.
I
like competing against myself. And so after that happened, I decided to keep it going. So today, when I came out to my car, a bunch of people were around, and I wasn't in exactly a great area of town. And and I go, beep, 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 excuse me. And they all looked at me like, what? And I go, that's my car. And then he tried to open the door for me, but it was locked. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that was nice of him. But there's more. I'll tell later.
Yes, 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 please do. And by the way, the name is Gary Chapman.
Gary Chapman,
yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Tom let me know. So
thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Tom's the man.
Yes.
So yeah, we will be right back after this with some more good stuff for sure with Dr. J. And this is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We'll be right back after this.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
This car care tip is brought to you by MPG Tire and Auto. Your vehicle's brake pads are the most important part for stopping your vehicle. The average lifespan of your vehicle's brake pads is between 2 to 3 years. Stop by any MPG Tire and Auto location and have your brakes inspected for free today.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I'm your coach and speaker, Andres Ruiz, and we have the wonderful Dr. J, who was on a roll as usual. You know, I just have to ask you one question and boom, you get rolling with it. So, you know, that's what I love about you is just you're motivational speaker, honestly, and the way you were just speaking about it, you're such a natural. That's what I love about you. So yeah, and you make this radio show easier for me. It's just I don't even have to say anything. I just listen.
You're hilarious.
Yeah. And you know, and I really love what you talked about service, and I feel that that's something that we also. I don't know if we're born with it. I think we are born with it, but then we also learn from other people. Like for example, for me, I remember I learned from my grandmother how to be a servant. Like she was the type of woman that when she lived in Mexico, she would go up to the cardboard houses, and then she would take food to them. Mm-hmm. She would go to women's houses that she didn't even know. She would bathe them. She would clothe them. She would give them food. And she didn't have that much. She gave it all away, and she was just a servant of God. Like, she really was talking to God all the time, and God was directing her in the way of service. And I remember the when she passed away, when we went to her funeral, we saw so many people we didn't even know. We're like, who are these people? And these people were people that she had served. Many, many people went to her funeral, and many people we didn't know who they were, but because she served so many without ever asking for anything in return.
Yeah.
And true servant. And I learned so much from her, from my grandfather, how to be a good person, how to get along with pretty much anybody. Mm-hmm. And those skill sets of like those interpersonal skills. And actually, let's talk about that. Like,
sure.
The importance of interpersonal skills, like, you know, just communication talking to people. Like, honestly, it's a lost art. Like, people do not know how to communicate. They don't know how to have a conversation like this.
They'd rather text, hey, bring me a Coke.
You know? Yeah, and they're right in front of you.
Exactly.
But, you know, but like, tell us, you know, about how, you know, first, I'm going to ask you, like, where do you feel you got that, you know, servant heart from? Like, maybe was it your parents or something like that? And then we can go into like the importance of interpersonal skills and how you learn these interpersonal skills and the importance that, you know, the youth need this type of information.
Absolutely. seeing you were saying the
servant, like, you know, how did you
get it?
Yeah. Like, do you think you got it from your parents? Or,
yeah.
You know, just how?
It's almost a same story, even though it was in Indiana, you know. So Indiana is a farm community where I'm from, and farm work is extensive. And if the farmer gets sick, the other farmers around come and they help. That's like a sense of community. Mm. Like, we know that the animals still need fed, and, you know, poop still needs shoveled, and you got to make sure the fences are good. And so a farm community is very service oriented. They help each other all the time. I mean,
that's cool.
And I appreciate that a lot. I also know that in Indiana, seemed like all the women had help come in.
So they, and I remember I moved away when I was young, and I was like 21 when I moved away. Mm-hmm. And when I got down here to Arizona, I never even thought of getting someone to clean my house. I was a single. I mean, goodness, I can. But I remember my sister-in-law, when she married my brother, she got help. Mm-hmm. I was like, help? Oh, I wish I had help. And I was like, but then I got to kind of looking at it, and I looked and I thought, oh, my other sister-in-law also has help, mm-hmm. you know, and they were both capable women. I mean, they weren't even working full time. And I thought, but they have help. Well, later I got to researching it because, you know, I went to U of A and we did a whole lot of cultural studies, and mine is in language, reading, and culture, my PhD. Mm-hmm. And it came up in that study about how communities have embedded ways of transmitting their values to one another. And so in a farm community, for that community to be successful, mm-hmm. for a bunch of animals not to die and for the food chain to not be hindered, you have to have a system in place that will work. So that community has definitely built in the ideology of it's good to help one another. Mm-hmm. You help me, we'll help you. Mm-hmm. Everybody helps mm-hmm. each other, and we have a prosperous community. And it's built in even with the young women, mm-hmm. like that you pay someone to come over. And it doesn't mean that they're poor. The poor people are the ones coming to help you clean your house. It's really more about that camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And that's where women teach each other how to cook, mm-hmm. how to sew, how mm-hmm. to get that stain out. I mean, mm-hmm. I learned more hacks on clothing and stains, you know, growing up where I did.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of traditional ways of handling household needs, mm-hmm. and how can those be passed down? I mean, yes, your mother's the primary, maybe your grandmother's also a primary, but you get a lot more even from all these helpers. Mm-hmm. And I remember my grandma; they were very poor on a farm, and they had help. Mm. Everybody has help, whether you're rich, whether you're poor. You had help where I'm from. So that's in Indiana. So I just think it's interesting to look at how society has built that value in where it's needed, and how much more than on a farm community.
That's really cool. And I love how you said that the whole values, like when you're around good people that want to help, that makes them want to help you too. And you know, like and going back to values, we talk a lot about values and how powerful they are, and mm-hmm. just being surrounded by people with good values, people that are good. Like today I was having a conversation with Zach Yenser, and we had some lunch together, and we were talking about how, you know, we just want to be around good people because it makes us a better person, and it holds us accountable too, to make sure that you stay a good person. So tell us about that. Like, let me talk about standards and about that, and just the surroundings, the people you're around, how that helps you raise your standards.
Oh man, as who you're around is everything. And I will say, who set the standards for me were my two grandmas.
Oh wow.
There was one grandma who was a lot more into homesteading than the other.
Okay.
And she had all the family functions. She was the matriarch of our entire extended family.
Oh, cool.
So she had all the Christmases, and I was always her help. Mm, I was the help that came in there. Yeah. So I learned a lot. And I just learned not to cut corners on certain things, the way you wash dishes, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember washing dishes with a guy that I was dating back in high school. Mm-hmm. And and when I was washing them, we had a dishwasher, so I could load a dishwasher like that. Mm-hmm. But to hand wash, not so good. Mm-hmm. And he would just take my stuff and throw it back in. I'd be like, what the heck? You know what? He'd say, you didn't do it right. So standards, I mean, you know, and believe it or not, you know, I remember that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess you do have to get all the food off. Otherwise, mm-hmm. bacteria will grow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's obvious. But how are you going to learn the obvious if someone didn't point it out to you? Mm-hmm. So it's kind mm-hmm. of important that you have those different values all around you, speaking on all levels, you know, third generation, grandma, a parent, a peer, you know, someone that's your age that you are engaging in some level of work with. Mm-hmm. So, and then jobs, we all had jobs. I was working since I was 12. I mean, I don't know if there was a law back then or not. I mean, maybe I'm that old. You know, maybe we were in factories. I really don't know, but but I was working, and I should have a heck of a Social Security. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But everybody did. Everybody mm-hmm. in my hometown, we all got a job when we were 12, and we got paid, and we went to work regularly, and we still went to school full time, and we still, but it was just that community's values, and that's what happened. And they made certain jobs for kids. Like they say, oh, we only have a couple of openings for an adult, but we're looking for some teenagers because it's really important that we teach them how, what the quality of work is. So, and here in Tucson, they have a neat, it's actually a government program. I believe it's a city program where they also do something similar. They teach kids how to perform at work at a certain quality level.
Interesting.
And a lot of kids don't like it because they don't like being told. And so that whole, you get that opportunity to be corrected. Now, I was corrected all my life because the entire community was gentle but firm. It was a German community and they were direct. And they didn't, you didn't have no, you didn't have to guess if you were wrong. You know, they were just like, you're wrong. You know, do it again. Throw it back in. You know, so, but I personally, I see great value in that now. Because I see the current generations at our schools. Now, at our schools, we implement service all the time. And we have 25 hours the kids have to donate in service in order to graduate from our high school.
That's good.
But it's so easy to do because 1 year I was like, these kids haven't even, they've been out for COVID and blah, blah, blah. I added up the hours. It was like 46 was the average per kid. I was like, whoops, okay. But there's so much to do. I mean, every time a table needs moved, get the young high schoolers. I mean, you're not asking them to break their back because it's a lightweight table. I can do it. But they like helping and they like moving and they like seeing an event take place and invite their parents and put on a performance. They love it. And it's so much more fun. And what do they say? Many hands make light work.
Light work, yep.
And that's what we tell the kids all the time. We're always saying those sayings and they're like, huh, that's a weird saying. Where'd you learn that? You know, and then we have another chance to tell a story, you know, about my grandma or my uncle was a farmer, you know?
And you do is you keep that legacy alive, you know, of... You're passing down the wisdom from the older generation, which I think it's important. I wish that, you know, a lot of younger people would get to hang out with just older people, you know, like 60, 70 years old. I used to hang out with the older people when I was, you know, in my 20s, my teens. I was always talking to the older people. And then people were like, why are you with the older people? I'm like, well, because they have better conversation than you.
And, that's right. It's at least interesting.
Yeah, and I grew up around that environment. And I learned so much on how to just have manners, be respectful to your elders. And it's something that I think has taught me interpersonal skills by watching and seeing. Because watching the older generation... I learned so much. And how about yourself? Like, how do you feel about that? Just like watching the older generation, learning from them?
Absolutely priceless. I mean, I even have a current situation. My mom was in a assisted living home. They wanted to have a Bible study there. Well, my husband happens to be a pastor. And I was like, well, okay, I will commit to a once a week Bible study. So I got another couple friends to help me so that, you know, because I do work full time and I can get pulled away. So I got to have a sub ready. So anyway, we worked together as a team. We offered this Bible study, but I tell you what, I don't know who learned more, them or us.
Wow.
Because you're talking 80-year-olds that have been sitting in church for at least 60, 70 of those 80 years.
Man,
and they know way more than this young 56-year-old. And it's like, wow, you know, I mean, they would ask us a question and we would present an idea and they looked like they were asleep, right? But no, present something that might be off a little. All of a sudden, all of them are awake and they're looking at each other and they're like, yeah, no, I think you need to go back and do your research. It's like, wow, still busting our behind.
love it. Yeah, man, we could go on for like 2 hours up in here. But yeah, that was the Dr. J from Tucson International Academy. And this has been the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We will see you next week. Coming up is Making College Come True Radio Show.
This car care tip is brought to you by MPG Tire and Auto. Your vehicle's brake pads are the most important part for stopping your vehicle. The average lifespan of your vehicle's brake pads is between 2 to 3 years. Stop by any MPG Tire and Auto location and have your brakes inspected for free today. Replacing your tires can cost nearly $3,000 over the life of your vehicle. Or you buy a set of tires once, roll them into the Total Car Care Guaranteed for Life program, and that's it. Forever. Seriously, buy it once and never purchase it again. Offered exclusively at MPG Tire and Auto. See program rules for details.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
La Frontera Center's supportive housing combines affordable housing assistance with wraparound supportive services for people experiencing homelessness as well as people with disabilities. La Frontera Supportive Housing links decent, safe, affordable, community-based housing with flexible, voluntary supported services designed to help the individual live a more productive life. Go to LaFronteraAZ.org for assistance or to donate your time or resources to one of Arizona's most impactful organizations.